flows on from where we were last week, and there in verse 18. While he was saying this, a ruler came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her, and she will live." And Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. And just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, if I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." And Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said. "Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed from that moment. And when Jesus entered the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd, he said, "Go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. And after the crowd had been put outside, he went in, took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread through all that region. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. One of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. And seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. And a large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She'd suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. And at once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," the disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." And while Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child's not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. And after he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha koum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." And immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. And at this they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Let's take a moment to pray. How does your mind work? Does it work? You wish it works, would work better. I have a greater forgettery than a memory. How does the mind work? You know, they tell me that 3 days after somebody said something, you only remember 10% of it, which is not very encouraging for a preacher. So by Wednesday, you probably won't have forgotten, "Oh, it was Andrew preaching." But 10%, you're only going to remember 10%. But they tell me that if it's visual, 65% is remembered. So I'm going to bring a paint board and paint it for you next time, I think. Different minds work different ways. But as a rule, if we see it, we remember it more than just hearing it. And that's how the world is working, isn't it? It's a very visual age. Everything seen, it's in your face so that you don't forget it. Does your mind wander? I know it does. It's the evening hour. As preachers, you'll be well aware, having heard more than one sermon, that so often we try and give you things to hang the message upon. Three headings, three words, something beginning with the same letter even, that might just trigger your memory and help and aid you in that way. Well, tonight's a 1-2-3-4 sermon. 1-2-3-4. The four is the bigger part, as you would expect. Because this passage is about one man. Well, that's not quite true, is it really? Really, it's about the Lord Jesus, because the Word, he's the Word made flesh. It's all about him. But I'm thinking about Jairus particularly as the one man in this. A synagogue ruler. As it says in Mark, one of the synagogue rulers. But a man of power, a man of position, a man of social standing. Jairus. A father. We know that about him because of the peril that his daughter was in. He's desperate. He's on his knees before Jesus. And the other parts of the story work round him, really, in the chapter that we've read. It's a passage about one man. It's a passage about two ladies. A young lady and an older lady. A delayed and an immediate healing. A miracle that's kept quiet and a miracle that's publicly confessed. Two ladies knowing very different experiences through Jesus. In both incidents, there are three similarities. Well, there are more than three, but for now, there's just three for us to look at. Because for the young lady and the older lady, the crowds are a big issue. The hordes, unhelpful, hindering crowds. So that Jesus has to get through the crowds to get to the young lady in her bed. And the woman, the older lady, has to push her way through and find her way through to touch the clothes, the hem of Jesus' garment. The hordes are similar for both. The help. Two desperate individuals. One, of course, has her father appealing for help for her. The other, the older lady, having to reach out for herself. But with faith, the importance of faith cannot be underestimated, of course, in this chapter. But along with that faith is hope, because Jesus is in Capernaum. Jesus is in town. This wonderful healer, powerful and mighty, casting out demons, yet gentle, raising up this young girl from her bed. Hordes, help, hope, three similarities. But the four, the passage speaks of Jesus and how he speaks four times in this unfolding story. Four words, four phrases that the Lord wants to speak to your heart and to my heart this evening. Now, before we look at the four things that Jesus says, and before we apply them to ourselves, there's something I need to point out. You know, the Bible does not hide things away. It's very, very visible, very, very public. No small prints at the bottom here. Things were going from bad to worse in this passage. It got worse before it got better. For the older woman, 12 years of suffering. spending all that she had on the doctors and the quacks of the day trying to get better. It had gone on and on so long. And for the girl herself, my daughter is dying, your daughter is dead. Don't worry the teacher anymore. It went and got worse before it got better. What others said or what others had done had to be ignored. Instead, there was the need to focus on Jesus, to hold on to what he said and what he would do. 2 weeks ago, we were looking at the teachers of the law, and I suggested to you that they had closed minds. Last week, we made mention of the Pharisees and how Jesus told them to go and learn what it meant to obey rather than to offer sacrifice, or to show mercy rather than to offer sacrifice. He challenged their minds. They didn't like it. They thought they knew what they needed to know. Well, tonight we see committed minds, minds focused on Jesus. He's the only one who can get both the woman and Jairus in his situation through their day, through this crowd, through all that's going on around them. And he's the only one who can get you and me through what's going on around us too. It was Jesus and what Jesus had done and what Jesus was saying that needed listening to. For example, with the woman with bleeding for 12 years, she first of all heard that Jesus was in town. She'd heard of what he could do. So she thought she would just touch his garment. Not make a fuss, but just reach out to him. And she would be healed. Such was her faith in him. And what does he say to her? The first of the four words that Jesus speaks, go in peace, he said to the woman. Go in peace. It's recorded in the other Gospels. Take heart, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. She touched the hem of his garment. She was hoping no one would notice. She came up behind him, even hoping he wouldn't notice, and touched his cloak. But he knew, didn't he? He knew. She'd heard of what he could do. And as he stops, the whole situation, the whole scenario freezes, doesn't it? And he asks, who touched me? Not to embarrass her, but to encourage her. Because it's important that we publicly confess our faith. The world is quite happy for us to keep it to ourselves. And sometimes we play along with that. Well, I don't want to ruffle feathers, and I know it's not everybody's cup of tea, and I don't, you know. But when we do declare our faith, the Lord can use that, can't he? When we do declare our faith, we feel better ourselves, actually. What am I ashamed of? I am the Lord's. I am a Christian. I do follow Jesus Christ. So this woman was brought to a place of confessing her need and what she had done, and to receive those words of Jesus that she could go in peace. What you have done to me is done. Jesus knew that. But what I have done for you is done. That's the important thing. Her body was healed. To have had such a condition, whatever the condition was, with bleeding, discharge, she would have been unclean for 12 years. That would ostracize her from people. Being in the crowd and all that was going on, that would have been an unusual place for her to be with her condition. But such was her desperation that she pushed through, as it were, the convention that was required of her, for she needed to touch Jesus. She needed to know his power in her life. So when Jesus says, "Go in peace," surely those words spoke to her mind. Her body knew the healing touch, but her mind as well was suddenly at rest. Quoting Horatio Spafford's words, "It is well, it is well with my soul." Suddenly at peace, suddenly, because it was all out in the open, what she'd done and what Jesus had done for her, and the difference that that had made to her. You know, think about what we have done to Jesus. Our sins caused his sufferings. Got a reminder again of that this evening behind me. But what he has done for us, what he's done for you and for me through those sufferings, it is well. It is well with my soul because of what he has done. We're going to sing that hymn a little bit later on, and there's a verse within it, you know it well. "My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul." It is well. The touch of Jesus enables us to go in peace. Peace of heart, peace of mind. But the Lord's touch is upon us. Through faith in Jesus' power, you can know that peace. The power of the cross. He calmed the storm, you remember, with a word. Peace with God, peace from God. Go in that peace. And so Jesus speaks these words to this woman. But in doing so, it prevents Jairus getting through the crowd with Jesus to his home. But the second words that I want to focus on that Jesus said, "Go on, don't be afraid, just believe." Now you might say, well, where's the "go on"? You're making that up, you're adding that in. But they're moving through the crowd. And people are saying, "It's no good, Jairus. And, you know, it's hopeless. Don't even bother him anymore. It's all over." Go on. Don't stop. Don't be afraid. Just believe, Jesus said to Jairus. It must have been an interesting time to be a synagogue ruler in Capernaum, don't you think? Jesus had been to teach in the synagogue, and it records how amazed the people were. We've heard nothing like this. And some of the miracles that Jesus performed, Luke 4, Mark 6, demonstrations of great power in the synagogue setting. So Jairus would have known of Jesus. But it also tells me in those passages that though a demon-possessed man cried out, "You are the Holy One of God," the synagogue members were amazed, but they took offense at him. And Jesus was amazed at their lack of faith. So great things happened, but the leaders must have huddled together trying to work out what was going on. Did we let him speak? He's a good speaker, but things happen. And it says he was one of the leaders. And you can imagine, for poor Jairus, it must have been so difficult. Were there others in the leadership that didn't really go along with this? Don't encourage him. What are you doing, Jairus? Inviting him to your house? To your daughter's situation? What a scenario. What a position he was in. Everybody knew of Jesus. Everybody knew of something, someone that Jesus had ministered to, whose life had been touched and changed. Yet the pressure upon Jairus, in his desperate need, he seeks help from Jesus. He falls at Jesus' feet. no doubt at great cost to himself and perhaps to his reputation with some, but he needs help. Who else can touch his daughter? Who else can help him in this need? Go on, don't be afraid, just believe. Perhaps you're in a situation and you have no choice, you've got to go on with it. But are you going on without fear? Are you going on believing what the Lord can do in the situation? I mentioned that things got worse, both for the woman and for Jairus in his situation. We heard this morning of the times in which we're living. Things are getting worse. Now that's part of God's overall plan of things, but it's still hard, isn't it? Still hard to live in a society that ignores, rejects the things of Christ. Perhaps in your own life there's a situation, a physical need, emotional, financial, and things just seem to be going worse. You know, it's very misleading when people say, oh, come to Jesus and everything will be sorted and perfect, because that's not how it works. So often it's difficult, and it can get more difficult if we really stand up for our faith. Things getting worse. Things heading in the wrong direction. No, not so. Not so if you're walking with Jesus. Things are always going in the right direction with Jesus. There may be obstacles. It may seemingly get worse. It did get worse for these people. You can't hide that. But because Jesus is with them, they don't need to fear. Because Jesus is with them, just believe. Just believe. He takes them through the storm. He takes them through the crowd. Jesus alone turned the course of their lives by his power. Nobody else could do it, only him. Well, isn't that what he's done for the course of history by his work on the cross? Yes, it is dark out there. Yes, it will get darker, but there is the light of the gospel that's going out to the nations of the world. We do have hope. We're reaching that place, yes, where things seem to be getting worse and worse. The nation going in the wrong direction, away from the things of God. But if God is with us, and he is with us as his church, then we're not going the wrong direction. We're in the right direction if we're walking with the Lord. Go on believing. They said, why bother the teacher anymore? Answer, because he's more than a teacher. A few words do not make any difference in the situation. But he's more than a teacher. We don't need to be afraid, because he is the God-man. He is the Son of God. We just need to believe, to remember what he has done, what he can do, and what he will do even in the days that are to come. So we can go in peace and we can go on believing, not being fearful, but trusting him. Then thirdly, this may not seem very PC. He said, go away to the crowd. To those who thought they knew better. To those who were the majority, who were slowing up and hindering his progress. Go away, he said to the crowd. Now when you read Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, was Jairus' daughter dead at the beginning? It's a bit confusing. But certainly there came a point where Jairus' daughter was declared dead amongst the whole crowd. And they were all going, yeah, we told you so. There was some confusion in the eyewitnesses' accounts. However, as Jesus makes his way to Jairus' home, that news is clearly explained to us what's happened. But Jesus takes Jairus and a few disciples through the crowd of mourners, the weeping, the wailing, even the playing of the flutes, even ignoring the laughter, the scorn that's poured out in his assessment of the situation. The crowd had hindered the older woman from getting to Jesus. Now they hinder Jesus getting to Jairus' daughter. And when he gets there, the first thing he does, it says, after the crowd had been put outside, he went in. Jesus is welcoming of all. But if there's no belief, if there is just mockery and scorn, then get out of here. He encourages faith, the simple faith, the stammering faith of the woman. But for those who thought they knew better, go away, he said to the crowd. We are to mix with people with other beliefs, understandings, persuasions, but not to the point that we are hindered from our faith. Iron sharpens iron, certainly, but rust spreads and destroys. Got to be meeting with the right people, sharing with the right people, drawing from others in the faith, drawing from the Lord, because one with the Lord is a majority. That's not just stubborn pig-headedness. That is the reality, because he is the truth. And others might all gather together and say, no, this is the truth. But the truth is not defined by the numbers, it's by what it is. So we have to ignore the comments of unbelief around us. Understand what the enemy is seeking to do. The TV, the newspapers Dave mentioned this morning, how godless is the media. How godless is the media. And that push for transgender in schools, the sexuality of our country, is rancid. It's rotten to the core. Now, before the light of Christ shone in our hearts and lives, we were in darkness. So I'm certainly not saying we shouldn't talk to people who don't understand our faith. We need to be out there winning them by the things we do, showing them the things that the Lord has said and promised. But Jesus was very clear in this situation. He told the crowd to go away. Even the mourners, the mourning party. I mean, that's bold, isn't it? That's brave to do that. But he knew. He did what the Father told him to do. He knew the Father's will in this and was fulfilling the Father's will in going in to raise up Jairus' daughter. For you and for me, it's perhaps a little less dramatic, but if we know God's word and God's the Father's will, then we have to stay true to it. Not be deflected, not be put off. Not look at this idea, this thought. Look at him, he seems to know a lot. The word of God is our guide. Go away anything else that would seek to damage that and hinder that from us. So he said to the crowd, go away. And then finally, pushing through, getting into the house where the girl lay lifeless. Get up, he said to the girl. Probably not like that, probably more gently. Get up. Having said that, you know, he commanded everything to come into being in the whole of creation, but I think it was more gentle. From the words that he spoke, he took the girl by the hand and spoke gently to her. My child, get up, says Luke. Mark records it, little girl, I say to you, get up. You know, knowing Jesus' touch gives life.
We, as Jairus' daughter, dead in our trespasses and sins, until Jesus touches our lives and lifts us up. And as with the woman reaching out to him, restores health to us. As we go on in our Christian walk, we get influenced, the influenza of this world. It impacts us. But a touch from Jesus again this evening restores, strengthens us. These miracles that are happening here, or happened here, can happen for you and for me. Jesus lifted her up, told her to get up, and she walked, and she ate something, it says. Again, what a picture that is for you and for me. We are lifted up out of death into life, and then we must walk in our faith. As we sang in that song, we must walk in the light, we must walk in love, we must walk by faith. We must be spiritually nourished as well. We must eat, we must digest, we must take into our hearts and our lives the things of our Lord to strengthen us each day. Everyone needs Jesus. I think we're all in agreement on that. He's the life giver. He's the life blesser. Many hinder his progress, the progress of his kingdom. Many laugh at his words, even in our community around us tonight. Many have no hope, no faith. Yet there are those in the midst, like you and me this evening, who take hold of him, who continue to believe, even in the difficulties, who confess that we believe, even with stammering tongue, who, like the little girl, have known his touch upon our lives and have obeyed the instructions that he's given to us. I wonder what happened to Jairus and his family. I wonder how it turned out. We're not told. But if we believe, if we confess him, if we obey him, then we'll silence the doubters around us, and we can encourage the seekers to come to our Saviour. Let's take a moment to pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage. We thank you for its honesty, its integrity. There was some confusion, but Lord, we thank you that through it and putting the gospel accounts together, we see clearly that you in your majestic power did wonderful things, and we thank you for it. And we know that that power is the same this very night, this very evening, as it was then. We thank you that you, Lord, are touching lives. You've touched our lives, and we thank you for that. We pray that, Lord, you would continue to have your hand upon us, even as we come to the table now and we reflect upon the price, the cost of our salvation. May you touch our hearts and lives afresh. And Lord, this passage gives us great hope that you can bring life to the dead, to those dead in Christ, dead in their sins, can be alive in Christ. And so our hope is in you. Do it, Lord, in this community more and more. May we see lives touched, transformed and changed. And in the midst of it, Lord, may our lives be moulded and made the way you want them to be. May we have that healthy glow about us, spiritually speaking. Our love for you and our service for you. Lord, make it all that it can be to your glory, honour and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to number 757. I quoted the hymn, Horatio Spafford. It is well with my soul, when peace like a river. 757, let's stand and sing this. Let's declare, if it is our experience this evening, that things are well, we're at peace with God through Jesus. It's well with our soul. Let's stand and sing. 757.
You have.
Heavenly Father, our hearts are stirred. Having sung such a hymn, it is all because of Jesus that it is well with our souls. And so, Lord, as we come now to the table to remember, thank you that we can eat together, drink together, and we can have that peace in our hearts because of Calvary. Thank you that we can go on in faith, believing, even in difficult times, because, Lord, you are with us and you have promised. We thank you too that, Lord, we can say to the crowds, go away. We can focus our minds upon you and help us to do that at your table. And Lord, like the little girl, our desire is to come to your table now and then to get up from it and to go out from into this world, fed and directed and guided by you, to walk our life, to walk our spiritual walk amongst those around us. Oh, we bless you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for these encounters recorded in the gospel. And we thank you, Lord, that you're still the same, having that encounter with us here tonight. So meet us now at your table, Lord, and bless to us. Bless to us this part added to our service, but part of the whole. Because, Lord, it's all about you and what you've done for us. Amen.